Today's Bible reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39.
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you," Jesus replied. "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
Why doesn't Jesus sort it all out? If his kingdom is a place where he can heal any disease, why doesn't he fix this one? Can he not see the catastrophic impact it is having on precious lives all over the world? Now, those questions are the sort of thoughts that people have been thinking over all the centuries. You know, when you look back to 1918 as the Spanish flu broke out and took an estimated 50 million lives worldwide, or maybe even in the Middle Ages as the bubonic plague came and took an estimated 200 million lives in Europe. People would have been wrestling with this as they mourned the loss of friends and family who were taken far before their time, as they saw their finances and their job security being ripped away from them, as they had to deal with self-isolation and the wilting of the soul of just not being able to see other people in the way that we've been used to, or even as they were shielding and not able to see a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, those questions and issues that people have faced through the centuries are now our questions and issues. Why doesn't Jesus fix the problem? Is it that Jesus does care but doesn't have the power? Or that he does have the power but he doesn't actually care? See, those are some of the issues that are being wrestled with in today's passage. If you've been with us before, you'll know that we're looking at Mark's account of Jesus' life. If you want to catch up on the talks, they're all online, they're on YouTube, but he came with great expectation and great hype. Jesus, the King, the Promised King, the Messiah, the Christ, that was his title, the Son of God. And last week we saw that he actually lives up to the hype. He goes into the synagogue and teaches, and people are hanging off his every word. An evil spirit is bossed by him. And today we see him tackle one of our greatest enemies of them all, sickness. You see, the first thing we see is this: Jesus can fix sickness. Look with me at verses 29 and 30. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. Well, after the morning of excitement at the synagogue, the boys head off somewhere to eat, to have a bit of downtime, a bit of relaxation. And where do they go? Verse 30, have a look. It is to Simon's mother-in-law's house. Now, if any of you are married, you may know the joy of having a mother-in-law. Imagine how they would respond if you rocked up unannounced, unexpected, with four other random blokes and expected to be sorted out with food. Obviously, my mother-in-law, if she's watching this, she would absolutely cruise through something like that. But maybe you'd think that might provide a little bit of tension. But that is not the big drama here. If you have a look at verse 30, what is the problem with Simon's mother-in-law? She is in bed, doolally, with a fever. She is laid out. At this point, we see Jesus bring out a new string to his bow. Have a look at verse 31. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Jesus goes to her, gently takes her hand, and as he guides her up, the fever is gone. Now, towards the start of the lockdown, early on, I got a temperature and it absolutely floored me. From 5 o'clock on a Friday, all the way through to 10 o'clock on the Sunday, I was in bed. And after I got up, I was not much use to my wife as she tried to herd our three wild children. You see, with this healing though, it is totally different. She gets up, and there is no lag, there is no delay. Straight away, what is she able to do? What she loves to do? She surfs. One touch and the temperature is gone. But then we could be asking the question, well, is it just fevers? Can he just do fevers? Is there anything else that Jesus can do? And that question is answered in the next two verses. Have a look down at verses 32 and 33. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Now, let's remember, who's at the door? The whole town, Capernaum. And whose door is it? Simon's mother-in-law. That would be pretty full-on, wouldn't it? You've just had a fever, you've been perfectly healed, and now everyone is on the doorstep. And just look at the timing of it. When do they come? They come after sunset. See, that's significant. This has been the Sabbath day. The Sabbath for the Jews started on the Friday night at sundown and finished on Saturday night at sundown. And so what has happened here is that people who normally would not be allowed to do work or basically anything else apart from go to the synagogue on that Sabbath day have waited for starters' orders, and as soon as the sun has gone down, they have shot out like an athlete on a track to find Jesus, and swarms of them have come around the mother-in-law's house. See, this whole town has think they've found someone who can deal with the scourge of sickness. And we're looking on thinking, well, does Jesus have the power? Maybe his power is limited. Maybe he can only do a few healings in one day and then he needs to recharge. But no, have a look. Verse 34, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And there's a massive heal off with not just one disease, but various diseases. Did you see that? People would have left feeling the best they had for years. But it's not just diseases. He is liberating and freeing people who've been possessed by evil spirits. You see, what we saw in the synagogue was not a one-off. He has the power to do it to many, many people. But did you notice the one thing that is a little bit odd? It said that he silenced them. We've already seen that back in verse 24 and 25, as the demon who knows who Jesus is, he says, "You are the Holy One of God," and yet he shuts him up. Why is Jesus doing that? You know, it's just a little aside, but it's worth saying right at the start of the gospel, Jesus is the one who absolutely wants to be in charge of how people come to understand his true identity and his true mission, and he will not let supercharged evil be the one to communicate what Jesus is about, because they are the ones who want to lie and steal, who want to destroy and possess and kill. The eventful end to this day confirms to us something about the nature of this king and his kingdom. Sickness cannot survive in his presence. He can regenerate health, restore whatever sickness has ravaged away. This power is out of this world power. And we'll see more and more of that as we look through Mark's gospel. You know, it's probably worth saying as well, it's not just Mark and Matthew and Luke and John who testify to this astonishing authority, or even the rest of the books in the New Testament, in the Bible. You also find Josephus, a Jewish historian of the time in his Antiquities of the Jews, says this about Jesus. He describes him as a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works. It's not just the gospel accounts that testify to this power. It is a given that Jesus has this power. But the question is, what is he going to do with that? And that is what is surprising about what comes next. You see, our second point is this. Jesus has something more important to do than heal. Have a look at verses 35 and 37. 35 to 37. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Can you imagine the tone of what Simon says in verse 37? You see, he would have had the absolute shock of his life, as he would have been woken up probably by the sound of people starting to gather outside the door of his mother-in-law's house. And as he kind of woke himself up and thought, is it all a dream? What happened last night? And went to get his Cocoa Pops and fill it up and drearily think, okay, where's Jesus now? And gone to look where he was left sleeping and to find he wasn't there, and thought, okay, he must be somewhere else in the house, and had a look around and couldn't see him at all, and then popped out his head out the door to see this crowd of people getting larger and larger and larger, all wanting to see Jesus, and him thinking, where is he gone? And so him and the other guys go out searching for him. Boys, I think we've got a problem here. We need to find Jesus. And so they search and they search and they search, and they finally find him. And verse 37, he says, "Everyone is looking for you." But what Jesus says next is scandalous. Have a look at verse 38 and 39. And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Listen to what the one man NHS emptying machine says. He says, "I'm going to leave those people in Capernaum because I need to go to other towns to preach." Jesus here prioritizes preaching over healing. Why? You know, just think about the implications. There outside Simon's mother-in-law house may have been a mum and dad with their little boy who'd been sick for ages and ages and ages. And Jesus leaves them. Or, you know, an older lady whose breathing is weak and is coughing. It sounds like a steam train. And Jesus leaves her. Why does Jesus do this? It's because he has a perspective that we don't. He is not just here to fix sickness in the now. He is here to fix sickness for eternity. And as all we can see is the here and now, Jesus has the eternal perspective. And so he preaches the message that enables us to get into his eternal kingdom. We heard what it is back in chapter 1, verse 15. It was this. The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, it's come close to us. Repent and believe in the good news. That is the message that people must hear. It is the message that has to go out at all costs. And so even though as we read through Jesus, of course he heals people. We'll see him healing a whole bunch of diseases and sicknesses. It is never at the expense of preaching the kingdom. It's his priority. And I guess if you've been around at Surrey Chapel for a while, you'll know that is one of our priorities. Of course, we want to love people and we want to serve people and care for people in the now. But the most loving thing we can do for them in the now is to share this message about the kingdom. You see, Jesus' priority is our priority. But that is not really the big point here. That is part of the point. And that's something we need to latch on to. What do the healings do? They point us to what the kingdom will be like. I guess during lockdown, some of us have turned our hands to jobs that we would never think that we would have done. Maybe the garden is looking an awful lot better, or the house is tidier and there's a whole bunch of stuff ready to go to the tip. And maybe, have you been brave enough to get a little bit of paint out? I wonder if any of you have actually gone to B&Q and picked up one of those tester pots and had a go. What do? You kind of paint a little pot and on your 80s floral wallpaper and you see what it could potentially become. See, what we're seeing in these incidents in the gospel account is a tester pot of what the eternal kingdom will look like. And as we said before, evil and sickness will not survive there. There'll be no more need for PPE or more nurses to be trained or extra ventilators to be made or new doctors to be brought back from retirement. In fact, doctors and nurses will be needing to retrain. That is how glorious the eternal kingdom Jesus promises is. See, at the start we had the question, why doesn't Jesus sort out COVID-19? Is it that he does care but doesn't have the power? Or that he does have the power but he doesn't care? See, what we've just seen is that Jesus really does have the power. He could deal with COVID-19 with a word. But if he was going to come and do that, then he wouldn't be able to just stop with COVID-19. He'd have to also deal with all the evil in the world. And we'd say, that is brilliant, deal with all the evil in the world. But the problem is, there is evil within us. There's a sickness within us that leads us to live our lives in God's world, not wanting him, pushing him out, going our own direction. And that is a sickness that excludes us from God's eternal kingdom. That is why Jesus has to preach, because he is the king with a message that can deal with that sickness that we all deal with. You see, the problem in Capernaum is the same problem that we have today. And he doesn't just want to make us well for 60 years. He wants to make us well for 600 million years. And so he is willing, at the end of the gospel as we see, to go to the cross to pay in death and blood so that we really can have the sickness of sin dealt with. And then we can experience for ourselves the joys of his eternal sickness-free kingdom. I wonder if you've ever turned to him and said, I know you died for me. I know you can forgive my sin, and I want to turn away from all that sickness that leads me to live life without you and to have you as my king. See, if you haven't done that, this would be a great time to do that. I guess lots of us watching this already know Jesus, and it's been a helpful reminder for us about his king and his kingdom, that he prioritizes preaching, which saves lives for eternity, and that is not just for the newcomer that is also for us. We need to keep hearing it and persevering in it and trusting in it. It may be that today you need to say a fresh thank you to Jesus. You see, his promise here is not that we will not necessarily die of COVID-19 or any other disease, but as we trust him, the one who has awesome power and his care is endless and limitless, death will not be the end of us. You know, I know there are people in the church family who have known Jesus' amazing healing in the now of sickness. You know, there'll be other people in the church family who have known Jesus' persevering grace as we've had to deal with chronic and at times worsening sickness. But here is the hope and the promise of this message to you. This illness and this sickness will not be the end of you. No, when Jesus comes back and brings his kingdom, that will be the start of you. That is why he prioritizes the preaching of the truth that heals for eternity, because on that day we will be freed, sickness will be gone, and boy, we'll be dancing. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father God, thank you for the hope that this passage gives us, that Jesus the King, who not only cares, but cares so much that he wants to bring us into his forever kingdom. And Father, for those of us who know that and have been following Jesus for many years, pray you'll help us today just to say again, thank you. We need to hear this message. We need to persevere in this message. And Father, for those who for whom this is new, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you'll help us to come to know the joy and the hope, the security and the foundation and the salvation that is in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.